In God's name, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Good morning. My name is Tim Hodapp. I am your canon for mission advancement and coaching, which is a long title. And I'm kind of on the bishop's staff for the Episcopal Church in Connecticut, someone whose portfolio has expanded over the years to pretty much hold whatever anyone else isn't going to be doing. One of those great gifts has been to receive and take on the work of assisting parishes with provisional priests in charge, of which St. Paul's is surely ensconced in that. It's good to be with you. I've been here a few times in the last couple of years, and nice to be back here with you again this morning. I'm reminded of a story I read several years ago about a young family who came to watch their little boy perform in the Christmas pageant. It was his first time. It was this young couple's first time. And as the lights dimmed in the church, they looked up at the straw-strewn area around the altar, and everyone waited. And out onto the stage came two Marys, because they had two Mary costumes and two divas, so why not? And along with them came a little Saint Joseph. Some of the animals started to amble their way up, including the sheep. Suddenly the angels came from heaven, declaring the glory to God with their big gauzy gowns and their big wings and their halos all down so they could find their spot in the straw. Now, the teacher who had worked with this class drew large circles where the little angels were going to stand, and the six shepherds that were following on the eight or so angels were ready in the wings. Unfortunately, the dress rehearsal didn't include costumes. So the parents watched as their little boy with the other shepherds came out in their burlap costumes and the staffs that they had and tried to find their place in the straw. And as their little boy got more and more frustrated with looking for his spot in the straw, with horror they watched him just come forward, taking on a position they had often seen. And he looked out at the audience and said, "Because of these damn angels, I can't find my cross." We can all feel it. There isn't a single one of us born this side of heaven that doesn't have a cross to bear. And perhaps not more poignantly known or felt is this time of year, Christmas time, when some of those crosses come forward. And when I think of the crosses that we bear, and I think of God coming as one of us, what does that mean? Jesus becomes incarnate to reset the world, to really change things. The Greek word metanoia, which means change, doesn't just mean changing like I'm going to put on a different pair of socks. It means changing like I've got a whole new set of feet. Suddenly my world has been shifted in a dramatic way, and I am moving in a whole new direction for what it means to be alive, what it means to be full. We, made of wheat and made of chaff, where what isn't necessary, selfish, puts ourselves away from others, creates boundaries, that gets burnt away in a metanoia change, and the real wheat is given its flavor, and we're able to move forward as God has made us. God knows us because God became one of us. God became one of us. You look at your hands and your fingers, God had this very thing. I'm sure in the carpenter's shop, God's fingers had splinters. God acknowledges both the grace and the grief of what it means to be a human being. And through God's Son, Jesus, his ability to say no to death, God's message to us is, yes, I have a preferred and promised future for you, and I am with you. The grace and the grief that we encounter in our own lives, our own crosses that we bear, God is there with us even then. Therefore, Isaiah's prophetic words are spoken, the Lord himself is going to give you a sign. The young woman is going to be with a child. She shall bear a son, and you shall name him Emmanuel. Emmanuel, God with us. Joseph, son of David, says the angel in a dream, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son. You are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So we have God with us, Emmanuel, and God saves, Yeshua. We're here this morning, which presumes we recognize the importance of God being in our life and God being with us as the parish of St. Paul's on the storied green here in East Norwalk. God with us. And this morning, God saves, yes. We pray through the sacrament on the altar and that moment of change that we are brought to God and made something new in the saving love and power of God's forgiveness. God with us saves us from ourselves and from our sinful tendencies. The prophecy of Isaiah, the young woman with child shall bear a son, is fulfilled in Jesus. Yeshua, a name that means God saves, we hear the echo of the angel's instruction to Joseph, you're to name him Jesus because he will preach redemption to the people. He will save them from their sins. That extraordinary event of God entering the extraordinary event of a messy childbirth, extraordinary and ordinary, every day accessible to a human birth, the precious, extraordinary gift of God in the midst of that. Things happen beyond the ordinary that are well beyond what we might have the capacity to understand. And these things, these events, these moments of exceptional grace, the idea of a virgin birth, these extraordinary things in the ordinary must happen in our lives for God's plan to work out. And we are invited not to dismiss them. I like to call them, as I'm sure many of you, God incidences. There are no coincidences for a follower of Jesus. Joseph doesn't fall back asleep and dismiss this as dream as a nighttime disturbance. He trusts his heart when the angel whispers God's message. In Mary, the Gospel of Luke, this is really Joseph's annunciation. But in the Gospel of Luke, when Gabriel announces to her, you will be the mother of the Son of God, she says, I'll do as I'm asked, according to your word. Emmanuel, God with us. Yeshua, God really saves. Our world is askew. And it isn't the political divide alone where partisan polarities are felt. We live in a society that tends to bifurcate everything as either thumbs up or thumbs down. And we all know this. And it leaves little room for conversation or for finding common ground. Who among us doesn't encounter those graced by wealth and popularity, character, convention, connections, in some way the lucky ones who are valued and valuable, the entitled? They're often envied. And we encounter those we ourselves, perhaps less than valued in our culture, often demarked by wealth and power and prestige, which for centuries in the United States has been held by a mostly white privileged class. As winter deepens, the season of Advent intrudes into the history of the world, and especially into the lives of Christians, we're invited to pay attention to the mood around us, to the words of the hymns that we're drawn to the prayers that make their way into our hearts. And even this late in Advent, we're invited into new ways of thinking and into ways of responding to the world around us. I remember as a kid, I'm in the middle of five boys, we're all about a year apart. My mother made it into heaven like greased lightning. There we were, sitting on the stone steps, waiting for our grandparents to come. And grandma and grandpa didn't come that often. And we didn't have that many cars coming down the street, but each time we heard one, we would be up and looking over the iron rail. Is this them? Is this grandma? Is this grandpa? Happy collection of little boys excited and waiting and peering around and wondering who's next. That's what this season of Advent is all about. How many of us are like a bunch of little boys standing on steps waiting, just waiting for the first sign that Jesus is coming, for that moment of grace? Might Jesus be a part of our lives in some pretty extraordinary ways? Might God be stirring within us a path for forward movement? You've been on a path for more than 2 years. As you look to what's next, for this place, St. Paul's on the Green, this historic church, this faith community, since Father Lang left and since Father Simons came to join you. You, your vestry, have been on an extraordinary journey. In terms of discernment, you are led in many ways by Father Daniel, but you're also led by your wardens, Anthony and George, who have done an amazing amount of heavy lifting, your executive team on the vestry, your vestry, as you all have experienced or been invited to experience in conversations in the last 6 weeks about how are things going in our mutual ministry together as vestry, as priest in charge, as parish, where is God leading us? Accolades to those in your community who have led this charge with you and for you. What a gift. And accolades to all of you for hanging on and participating in what I know has not been an easy process. And then let's just throw in COVID-19. Let's add social unrest, political difficulties around the world, the cost of living that's going up. The list goes on and on and on. Even without a time of transition, these would have been difficult years. God with us? Jesus saves? You bet. And I wonder if in the midst of this, can I name my own discomfort? Do I recognize that there's some unrest within me, as there is with people around me? Do I know the mark of those whom the holidays are anything but holy days? Perhaps for myself or the person seated right near me here in the church this morning. What about the one who's not a believer in Jesus? Or the 8 days of fire that mark the menorah? The one who doesn't celebrate with African dance and song? The one who wears a hijab? Someone who's without a friend to join in after-work merrymaking? Or who's without a bed on which to place her head? Who's unsure of where the next meal's going to come? Who's so fragile because she's on the edge? The one who sees himself as too overweight or too skinny or too brown or too black or too unlike the norm, too trans or too gay or too whatever it may be, too marked by what I was marked with as a little child before I was even 5, unseen on what appears to be the lowest rungs of the ladder. We've heard a lot of John the Baptist these last weeks of Advent, but John didn't live to see the ministry of Jesus bloom. He was put to death by Herod, executed, and like his cousin, Jesus was also put to death by Pilate. Yet, we've heard tell over the centuries that the story of Jesus doesn't end there, that Jesus actually broke the bonds of death and rose from the dead to tell us there is something more, despite or maybe even because of the crosses that you bear. What good fortune to live on this side of Jesus' resurrection, to be, as Paul testifies in Romans' letter this morning, Jesus Christ our Lord, through whom we've received grace and apostleship to bring about the obedience of faith among all. For us here on this fourth Sunday of Advent in 2022 to be a part of the sacred body, working in the world as best we can, to be a blessing, to bind up and to heal, to listen, to help people walk, to see, to hope. We're invited, even as we're encouraged, to claim our own crosses, recognizing that Jesus belongs to this community of St. Paul's on the Green, and that we belong to this community of believers, dedicated to the instruction to carry out Jesus' ministry, even as we receive his message of healing and hope. As disciples, we're invited to align ourselves with the ministry of God, witness to the gospel, Care for our siblings in the world around us. Care for the world that's been entrusted to us. And be fearless in asking for care for ourselves when we need it and as we need it. In ancient Rome, Janus, the two-faced creature who looks forward and who looks backward, might be a good representative of Advent that looks backward to the birth of Jesus and forward to Jesus' second coming. And here we are in this space in between. Advent's like that image. And this liminal space, this in-between time, is a vantage point from which we gaze at one, Christ at birth, and wonder at the other, Christ coming again, and acknowledge that we have moments when we can feel and know with certainty that Christ is with us now. We're invited to roll up our sleeves and get to work. If the blind are to see, it's because I help them see. If the lame are to walk, it's because I help them walk. If the deaf are to hear, it's because I see them needing the voice, and I bring them the message, and I keep my eyes peeled on the margins of the society in which I live, and ask, how can I help? Not change the world, but change this moment for that person. Are there signs that God's with us, that God saves? Yes. That today God continues to break into our world, that God makes a difference? Yes. Do we need the power of God who offers forgiveness and reconciliation, who uses the ordinary of our lives in some pretty extraordinary ways? Yes, we do. And in these final days of Advent, the shortest days of the year, and perhaps as the anxiety of the approaching holidays increase, you and I, disciples all, might acknowledge Emmanuel, God with us, Jesus, God saves, and be manifest. And let God become incarnate through our capacity to respond with love. Default to love, thumbs up rather than hate, thumbs down. Defy resentment and offer forgiveness. Speak truth and unsettle the falsehood around us. Move with compassion and burn away cold indifference. Be inspired by recognizing the lives and the goodness that surrounds us. Show care for the grieving and dare to reach across those cultural boundaries that make a wall between whom I identify as those in my tribe and those that are the other, that I fear and that I feel apart from. Let's listen again to the words of our opening prayer that was chanted for us this morning. Purify our conscience, Almighty God, by your daily visitation, that your Son, Jesus Christ, at his coming, may find in us a mansion prepared for himself. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.